This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, we complain a lot about some of the things that happen around here in New York and the congestion pricing and the taxes and those things. But one thing that's great about being here is that we have two baseball teams that are committed to winning. Now, you're going to get some Yankee fans and maybe roll their eyes. Oh, how come, you know, Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman didn't go out and get a better third base because they didn't want to go over the competitive balance tax? For God's sakes, they're right up there spending more money than anybody else. They're a global brand. They're going to need guys to perform above their contracts, above expectations to succeed, just like a lot of other teams. But, you know, just like we were talking about with the NCAA tournament and how the haves and have-nots are bigger than they've ever been.
Yes.
And some of the mid-majors are going to be gone. Just be happy if you're a fan of the Yankees or the Mets.
I would say any team here in New York. I see most teams spend the money to bring in guys that they believe are going to lead them to championships. And
in baseball with the way that it's set up.
Yes, because there's no salary cap. However, there is a luxury tax. But when you look at what the Jets and the Giants do, how much money they shell out each year, the three hockey teams have, you know, they shell out money all 3 years. The two basketball teams shell out money. I mean, the Red Bulls are paying. I mean, so you got NYFC paying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody here in New York really does try to do their level best to just get the right guys in and the right people in to be able to win. And that is not just the team itself. It's also the management. It's also the front office.
Right. And the reason why I think that baseball is a little bit different is, you know, we look up and say, you know, we're not going to see a team like McNeese State or Loyola Chicago go on a run like they did, or George Mason back in the day with Jim Larranaga. Like, that's not going to happen anymore with the nil money. I think last year's World Series could be the beginning of that in baseball with the Yankees and the Dodgers, and then we're just going to see the teams that spend the most getting in there, because if look at the landscape. How do you make money if you are the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Kansas City Royals? The only way that you make money in baseball is pocketing the revenue-sharing money that they have and pocketing the competitive balance tax money that comes out of these teams that go over it. That's it.
And every now and again, you might get a run by one of these teams, but it's far and few between.
And the way that they go on a run is they've got impeccable scouting, minor league system. Those guys come up, you get them on the rookie contracts for longer than they should be because they screws the players. We talked about a million times, guys hitting free agency in 30, 31 when they shouldn't be. But they get those guys in these rookie contracts, and then they go away and sign big deals with the big teams. But that's going to go away too, because there, you know, money going into international scouting and the signing bonus pool and all of these facilities, and the Mets built some palatial thing down in the Dominican Republic. Those teams are not going to be able to compete with that either.
Yeah, you know, the other problem is, though, is that there's going to be, like, this loss of the ESPN contract is going to be significant. They'll figure out a way to try to rehash some of that money, get some of that money back, but I do think that there is it's like the Power Five conferences in college, and it's the same thing in baseball. And I don't necessarily know that it's the same thing in other sports. I feel like there's a real evenness in other sports in terms of the salary cap and the amount of money teams are making due to the largesse, especially the NFL, when it comes to the media contracts. But I do, like, you know, I was thinking about this. You were out last week, and Jerry and I were talking about it. The Baltimore Celtics sold to a guy by the
name of Boston Celtics.
Boston Celtics. What did I say?
You said the Baltimore Celtics.
Oh, God dang it.
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics sold to Bill Chisholm, who is a private equity guy, for $6.1 billion. And that doesn't include the building. It's just the Celtics. They sold for $6.1 billion.
Yeah.
That's just a name. You bought a team. You didn't even get the building that came along with it. I'm sure they have a practice facility or whatever up there. And I would imagine that they're going to try to build another building somewhere else within the Boston city limits, I would think. I don't know. TD Garden is a pretty nice place. But
you spend $6 billion on something and still have to pay rent. It's kind of weird.
And you also have probably like a $500 million salary structure with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I don't know how you're going to make money. And I guess it may be a vanity buy. And supposedly this guy Bill Chisholm is a huge Celtics fan, and he's buying it from another Celtics fan. But the Yankees were valued at $8.2 billion. And I was wondering if the Boston Celtics won for $6.1 billion, the Yankees got to be worth more than $8.2 billion.
Yeah, 10. It started 10.
Because you got the building coming along with it, and you have the cachet, just like the Celtics do, of a great name, of a great franchise with great history.
Yeah.
Now, I also asked the question to Jerry, what if Jim Dolan wanted to sell the Knicks, the Rangers, and Madison Square Garden? $20 billion?
Yeah. I mean, that's the first number that pops into my head, yeah. I think so. I mean, that's a tough thing to turn down, is it? Isn't it, if you're Jim Dolan? If you want to do that, $20 billion? Now, I know he loves it. And I know he doesn't need the money, and I know he likes being involved, and the Knicks are on, you know, they finally have turned it around and been a winning team the last couple of years, but, I mean, that's a tough thing to turn down. $20 billion? You're telling me I can get $20 billion
tomorrow? Yeah, I don't know what he,
I'm sure
I don't
he
know
could.
What he could get.
I'm sure he could. I'm sure at least.
You know, and also, there was while you were gone, there was a second set of plans for Penn Station.
Yeah.
Where they were going to move the garden across the street.
Yep.
To where the old Hotel Pennsylvania was.
That's right.
And it looks like a great plan. The question is Jim Dolan going to go for it?
Yeah, that remains to be seen.
By the way,
yeah.
There is political will there. There is, the governor is in on it. The president is in on it. Like, there is the right amount of political will to get something like this done and at least get agreements done and signed probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so on this opening day, I just say be appreciative that you were born here and raised a Met or Yankee fan, because you could have a team for the rest of time that's never going to compete again, because regional sports networks aren't making any money anymore. Attendance isn't going to make you money anymore. National TV deals aren't making those teams money anymore. It has become increasingly harder for those teams that are not in large markets to compete with the ones that are. And by the way, you know, Steve Cohen's not making money on the Mets. The reason why Steve Cohen is spending this money, it's just like its own little playground for him. And you bring up, and we have fun with you with the Dodgers and the consortium that they have there.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's who's funding those teams. Baseball isn't keeping these teams alive. Billionaires are. You know, so then when you remove the billionaire from the equation, man, you pull the curtain back. Ain't a lot there.
It used to be millionaires. Now it's billionaires.
I mean,
pretty much every team, obviously every team's worth $1 billion at least. But in the NFL, I even think the least valued team is probably like the Jacksonville Jaguars. But who knows? They're building a new stadium down there. You know, they're probably going to be worth $3.5-4 billion.
And if they ever move to London, which has been
who knows what they would be worth.
Right, but I mean, you think about a guy who gets killed. Like, I spent those 5 years in Pittsburgh. Bob Nutting, the owner of the Pirates, gets killed constantly. Don't put money back in the team. Put money back in the team. Okay, if you're him, the only way you are making money on that team these days, because, like, merchandise, attendance, none of that stuff's even cracking anything, no. Man, is the revenue sharing and the competitive balance tax that goes to the other teams. That's it. So he is pocketing that money because that's how he makes money. That's the only way he can make money in baseball in 2025, because he's not getting it from his regional sports network. He's not getting it from the national TV deals anymore, because that's gone by the wayside. That's the only way he's getting any money. So, like, the fans are going to sit there and scream and yell about, put more money in the team. You want to see him win. And he's like, I'm running a business, and I have a family. I'm doing this because I'm making money. I'm not in here to make your dreams come true.
Right, I know.
It's a problem.
It is a problem, but it also is hopefully, like, you know, 7 wins for the Mets.
Back to my original point.
Yeah.
Be thankful on this opening day.
Yes.
That we have these two teams here. And even when they're down, appreciate the fact that they're going to do their damnedest to get back up.
So let me ask you this question, as we are talking about sports and in general and the Yankees and the Mets and how much they're worth and how much they're spending. So you have the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be playing at George Steinbrenner Field.
Mm-hmm.
They nixed their latest stadium deal. They don't have a stadium in the works. They don't have an agreement in the works. What do they do? What does Rob Manfred do with the Tampa Bay Rays?
I think he puts them in Nashville.
I mean, that would make sense if and Nashville's building a new football stadium.
I think that's where they
go. Nashville's going for the Super Bowl, I want to say maybe 2029.
And they would support that team there. I mean, the population is growing there. It's Vegas in a different type of way. I mean, obviously, Vegas is built on the backs of gambling, but in the sense of people are moving there. They're moving there for lots of reasons.
Retirement.
The weather is better,
retirement,
all those things, retirement. Yeah, I mean, and you know, and it's a great place. And also, you know, younger people are going there because it's fun. It's cheaper to live. The population growth is immense. It's got a hockey team there. It's got a football team there. I believe it by the time that if the Rays do go there, they could support a baseball team too.
Right. So, and then the A's would be 3 years in Sacramento, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It's ugly.
I mean, that's not good for the sport. You know, you got other sports that are looking to, like, the NHL is probably going to expand, believe it or not, to Atlanta and Houston.
They're going to put another team in Atlanta?
Yeah.
What?
Up by where the Braves are.
Why?
Because they want another team. They feel like they can support another team out there.
But did it fail miserably?
Well, downtown it failed, but now, you know, they feel like where the Braves built their stadium, north of Atlanta, I believe.
I mean, but...
And that whole, like, so you see what the Braves did with their stadium is basically a whole city has been built around it now.
Yeah.
And a lot of the population is moving that way. And they really feel like they can support a hockey team. And Houston, the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's a mistake. I got to be honest with you. There's places where I think, like, you won't, I mean, they got Columbus, so you can't really put one in Cleveland. But, I mean, there's cities where I think
Kansas City
could support it a little bit more. Kansas City would make more sense to me. I think you start going south again, it's just not.
But there's a big push in the Atlanta area to bring back the Thrashers. Aren't you a big Thrasher fan?
Define big push. You know what I'm saying?
Money.
What was that? Ilya Kovalchuk? Wasn't he there with the Thrashers for a while?
He was. But you know, the other thing too is that you still have the Phoenix market that still is trying to build a stadium to bring back the Coyotes.
You know, you asked Al a trivia question earlier about the Chicago White Sox.
I'm
going to ask him another one. I think he knows the answer to. What famous sports talk show host at one point did play-by-play for the Atlanta Thrashers?
Scott Farrell.
Bang. See? He knows his stuff.
Well, you know why? Because we did this last week.
Oh, did you?
Well, I knew that anyway.
Yeah, but really? We did. Yeah,
you were talking.
Jerry brought up Scott Farrell doing Atlanta Thrasher games.
Oh, wow. Somehow.
Jesus Christ. Probably because you were talking about this thing.
Well, I just want to bring you up to date. That's all. Don't look at me with that disgusted look on your face.
I mean, you're bringing me up to date on if the Thrashers are coming back. You think I needed that?
I'm trying to just talk about the business of sports, which you know I love.
I know you love the business of sports. The Thrashers coming back.
I'm still trying to figure out how in the hell is Bill Chisholm spending $6.1 billion for a team without a building?
He might be an idiot.
There's no real estate.
You ever think maybe he's not that sharp?
No, I think he's very sharp. I think he's very bright, and I think he's very wealthy. I'm just like, wow, he must be a real fan.
Matt's in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Todd. Good morning. How you doing?
Long All right, Matty. What's happening, brother?
Nothing much. 2 points I want to bring up real quick, and one was brought up this morning early. As a fan and as a listener, nothing drives me crazier than before the callers make their points about, like, I don't need your resume. I don't need to know that you were there in 1986 when Lawrence Taylor took his first dump in Giant Stadium. Like, I don't...
Yep.
And second point, I just want to bring up, and Gio, you inspired me with Gronk. I get very nervous. There's a lot of tension when Jerry does his updates in Boomer. There's a lot of tension there. If you look into Jerry's eyes when I'm watching, there's a lot of rage there. He's got a lot of rage behind those eyes. So I get in Gronk, when will Jerry Recco and Boomer Esiason fight?
So, now, Matt, were you listening? Were you listening last week when Jerry was in the power chair?
Yes, that was the power chair spot. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you felt like it was different when he was in the power chair as opposed to when he's in the update chair?
Absolutely, yes. I think the ego takes a bit of a hit. I think, listen, I'm a big Jerry guy. If there was one guy in WFAN, I would take him my side of the fight. I'm taking him first overall.
Yeah, he's like a badger.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of rage, man. A lot of rage behind those eyes.
And we point out that rage. That's all.
Yeah. So anyway, I typed it in, and the result came back that there's no evidence of Jerry Recco, a WFAN personality, and Boomer Esiason ever fighting. So I just wanted to pass that along. We're in good shape. It's opening day. It's a great day. Listen, no Giancarlo Stanton this year for the Yankees. I'm feeling it. So we got a new opening for a sit on my face spot. Have a good day, guys.
Oh, I love you, Matt.
Yes.
I love that you're a great listener. I appreciate all those references. So while he was talking, I did put into Grok, when will Boomer Esiason and Jerry Recco fight? And it is funny. There is no definitive information or scheduled event indicating that Boomer Esiason and Jerry Recco will, quote, fight in any literal sense, whether physically or otherwise, in 2025 or beyond. Your question seems to reference their dynamic on the WFAN morning show, where they've had on-air disagreements or tense moments, but these are typically part of sports radio banter rather than an actual planned confrontation. For instance, a notable moment occurred in November 2017.
Wow.
When Boomer sharply interrupted Jerry saying, "Time out. This is not the Jerry Recco show," during a heated exchange involving football talk and Phil Sims. This is what came up.
Wow.
This was more of a flex of Boomer's authority as the lead host than a personal feud. It even spawned a humorous animated GIF online. Their working relationship spans nearly two decades, with Jerry as the update anchor and Boomer as the morning show stalwart, suggesting they've navigated plenty of friction without escalating to anything serious. Wow.
That's a pretty good description, actually.
It really is.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. I mean, the fact that it referenced November of 2017, where you said this is not the Jerry Recco show. Do you remember that?
Well, obviously, this was the year that Craig got arrested.
It was like a month after.
So Jerry must have been in the power chair, trying to assert his power.
Right, yeah.
He saw a soft spot.
And you were not having it, apparently.
Yeah, Alan, I have no memory of that.
Well, AI somehow does. Bill and Neptune, what's going on, Bill?
Hey, what's up, boys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Gio, listen, the power of AI, I got to tell you something because I think you're going to like this. And then I wanted to tell you guys about a golf course that's really called the Augusta of the North real quick. If you take the AI models that you have right now, Brock included, and you train them, right, you tell them what they are, what their persona is, give them a knowledge base to work off of instead of having to, you know, go out to the internet and find stuff, you can utilize that to make better predictions or have better data analysis, especially when it comes to like DraftKings or FanDuel for fantasy sports and gambling purposes and whatnot. But you have to be able to feed it the information and give it its knowledge base and tell it what to do before you ask it the question.
Yeah, and Bill, there's been a lot of guys who have subscription sites, gambling subscription sites that do have AI that helps them out, and they tell you that this the AI is doing better than we are in this particular thing. So I have seen that already. I still think there's too many things that you cannot predict in sports, and that's why you know, a lot of these guys that plug and play some of these lineups and DFS, you know, sometimes they brick big time. But yes, I'm starting to see that, and I'm sure in the coming years it's going to get even more intense.
Yeah. Real quick, when you get a chance, look up Baywood Greens. It's just outside of Maryland. I think it's in Delaware, but it might be in Maryland. It's called the Augusta of the North. I know you were talking about the Augusta of the Northeast the other day. But I've actually played there, a beautiful course. I played in college, and it's a great time. So if you get a chance to get down there, take a look at Baywood Greens.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. I'm looking at it right now. Continue to look in the break.
Where is it?
It is in Delaware.
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 Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
There.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this opening day, 2025. Earlier, I put into Grok how many games, Grok, which is the AI feature on X, if you're not familiar. I put into Grok how many games will the Yankees win, said 88. How many games will the Mets win, said 90. Who will win the World Series, said Dodgers over the Orioles in six games. And I've been putting other stuff in there, and this one is my favorite so far. Does Al Dukes like his dog Whimsy?
Huh.
Grok says yes. Al Dukes does like his dog, Whimsy. Despite initially expressing some regret about getting a dog due to the added anxiety and responsibility it brought into his life, he has made it clear that he loves Whimsy. In a 2022 Newsday interview, he stated, "I wouldn't give her back because I do love the dog," indicating a strong affection for her, even if he considers it a one-and-done experience with pet ownership. His actions, like walking Whimsy around Bradley Beach and sharing their adventures on social media and on air, further suggest a bond and fondness for his greyhound, even if it comes with challenges for his structured lifestyle.
Wow.
That's pretty spot on point right there.
I mean, I said to Boomer at the break when I put this in there, that's a better explanation than I could have given.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy. So anyway, I'm going to be doing that all day, but I'm not going to share all of them. But that was a good one.
Mm.
All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are brought to you by Flag and Anthem, Real Clothes for Real Life. What is going on is opening day, and you got BT and Sal live at Yankee Stadium today at 10 a.m., and there will be Aaron Boone right to start the show. Andy Pettit, who was throwing out the first pitch, will be with them at 10:15. They had at the MLB Network studios yesterday, they had Ryan Dempster and Al Leiter and Cliff Floyd, so a lot of baseball.
And those guys are all in, huh?
They are.
Wow.
They're all in, yes. Yankees Brewers this afternoon, right here on the Fan. Carlos Rodon, Freddie Peralta are the starters there. If I asked you right now, I did this with Al earlier, how many former Yankees are opening day starters on other teams today?
Oh, wow. Well, it obviously has to be a significant number.
It's nothing crazy, but it's a pretty good number.
You wouldn't ask the question. I would say five.
Five is the exact number.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, that's significant.
Nathan Eovaldi is starting for the Rangers today. I just got to find them real quick. I know Sonny Gray is starting for the Cardinals. Michael King is starting for the Padres. I'd have to go through them all, but there are Luis Severino for the A's, and I'm forgetting the fifth, but there is a fifth one as well. But yeah, so five former Yankees are making opening day starts today and Clay Holmes for the Mets.
Clay Holmes for the Mets, yeah.
Who will be in Houston today.
Oh.
Yeah, so here's a couple from the Mets. You've got Carlos Mendoza. So this is year two now as Mets manager. What's the mindset into year two?
I'll say the same, you know. Last year, first year, you know, going into opening day, yeah, special, just like this one is. But, you know, from as far as like the preparation, as far as, you know, how I treat every day at the big league level, especially as a manager, is the same.
Is the same. Now, what is cool, you've seen this story about Hayden Sanger, this Mets catcher who has been a career minor leaguer drafted in 2018. Well, with the injury to Francisco Alvarez, for the first time, he is on an active roster on opening day.
I feel like I couldn't really get words out. I was really excited. You know, it was like all the years that I put in, like, kind of overwhelmed me. So, yeah, pretty speechless.
27-year-old rookie, so good for him, as they say. Mets Odyssey Radio.
The Yankees got the 29-year-old rookie who made the team.
That's right.
Called his mom on FaceTime. That was out there. Do you think, with the relationship that BT and Sal have cultivated with Yankees manager Aaron Boone, that Aaron Boone will join them today before the game because they are at Yankee Stadium.
Well, as I have said at 6:30 and just now, he will start the show with him at 10 a.m.
I didn't hear that. I swear to God, I didn't.
Well, that's okay.
You know why? Because he's now putting stuff into AI.
It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he's at 10 o'clock. He's starting the show with them.
Well, good. We promoted that again.
Right,
that's what
good.
I was trying to do.
That's okay. Right into Pettit at 10:15.
Good.
So that is kind of neat.
Jerry, I apologize.
Who cares?
Normally, I'm locked in. Today, I've been putting the Zal like his dog into Grok.
Here's the fake Russell Wilson that's on social media.
Oh, God.
That, again, the lips are moving. It is unbelievable how real it looks. It doesn't exactly sound like him, but it is close enough as someone had some fun with Wilson.
One thing to say, Giants country, let's ride right off a cliff to our fiery deaths. And the Giants said they were looking for a really quarterback so they can tank for Arch Manning next year.
It looks real. I know it's clearly not, but it is funny. Now you've got the tale of two quarterbacks. This is the real Russell Wilson, excited to play with one Malik Nabers.
I was watching a bunch of plays of him, and just he caught this one catch against the Commanders on a shallow cross in the third down, and he cut back inside, got another extra 20 yards, got hit pretty good. He kind of laid the boom, but vice versa. And he got up right away and just was celebrating, excited about the first down, and just move on to the next play.
All right, so he's the first string. He's the starter. Here's Jameis Winston on Golf Channel a couple of days ago.
On Golf Channel?
He was part of that NFLPA golf event with Kay Adams.
Yeah, that's right.
So Kay asked him about going to New York, and he's pretty fired up.
It feels good to be in the Big Apple. You know, I'm very excited for the, obviously, opportunity to go out there and play early, throw some touchdowns to Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson, and just see how it goes.
Oh, this could be interesting.
Doesn't sound like he thinks he's the backup.
So that, what it sounds to me is like they said, you know, there's still a chance we could draft a young quarterback here, guys.
That's no, not still a chance. What I think it's this is what I think happened, and I said this yesterday. Their plan was they're thinking that either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders was going to be there because the Titans weren't going to take a quarterback, and they told Jameis Winston, "Hey, Jameis, we're going to draft a quarterback at 3. You're going to play for a couple of games. We'll see what happens." And then he's like, "Okay, great." Then the Titans, after the pro day, got super interested in Cam Ward, and then they're thinking, "Oh crap." Cam Ward goes 1, Shedeur Sanders goes 2, then we're holding our you-know-whats here at 3, again, after last year, the same thing happening. We better go out and get another veteran on top of that, because if we have another 3-win season with goddamn Jameis Winston as the quarterback, we are gonzo, never to get jobs again in the league. So that's why Russell Wilson is here.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got two quarterbacks that think they'll be playing week one. Mm. We will find out. Speaking of playing, not a great night for the Knicks, who lost at home to the Clippers.
Harden doing his dancing and prancing, fires away. Three-pointer is good, his third in a row. 29 now. Harden has erupted here in his third period with 16 points.
That time straight on with the hoop. Hard all over him. Like a cheap suit, Mike.
Okay, well, he did score. He had the 16 in that quarter, as Breen was talking about, on MSG with Clyde, but Harden finished with 29. Clippers win 126-113. Kawhi Leonard, 27-10-7 assists. Here was Mikal Bridges. It's short, but it's very honest.
Just execute. Just better than us. Both sides.
Both sides of the ball. Here was Harden on FanDuel Sports after the game. Loves New York. Loves the Garden.
Some of the best fans in the world. You know, sports city for sure. You know, I played here for a year in the city, so.
Did you?
It's just the energy, the vibe in here. You want to come out, you want to play your best, and you want to obviously come away with the win. So for us, it was all about that, and we did that.
Wow. It is just amazing that these guys, just one after another, come in here and just light the Garden up.
Yeah, I mean, it has happened.
I mean, it's a game that the Knicks, you know, they got to win this game. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter.
We're not going to be thinking about this game. No one's going to reference this game at all when Jalen Brunson comes back and they start playing in the playoffs. They're not going to say, I knew this team stunk when they lost to the Clippers on a back-to-back when he was hurt.
I do agree. The only thing that is, if I was a Knicks fan, concerning would be this clip from Bridges, too.
They're a really good team, and they just play harder than us.
And that's happening often.
Yes, exactly.
Which didn't happen last year. So, who knows? We shall see. A couple of other things from basketball.
It's also, I mean, like some of these guys get bored in the regular season.
What, do they got
man?
10 games left now?
Better make sure you can turn it back on, though.
Yeah, I know.
So, they have 10 games left. Kind of like the Rangers.
Are
the Rangers have 10 games left.
5-27.
And you know, the amazing thing in the NHL is that last wild card spot, you got five teams fighting for it, and all the teams around it are losing.
All true, which I will get to in a moment. I want to get to LeBron because I want to play. So he had this. I'm not going to play the highlight because we're running out of time. And I got other things, but he did have the tip in last night. Game winner at the buzzer. Lakers beat the Pacers 120-119. Luka Doncic had 34. Earlier, though, LeBron was on McAfee. Eddie, just make sure I got all the beeps here just in case I missed one, but who knows. Is he claiming that the draft lottery is rigged? Did you see this?
Yes, I
don't know if he's having fun with it or not, but when he says it, you got enough people out there that think it's rigged.
Well, I think he's having fun with it by also giving it credence at the same time.
So here's the clip.
Listen, man, during the ball drop, you know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. That's the, I just don't think that was.
What a coincidence.
With the Spurs.
Let's keep LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment.
And I don't know that he's being serious or not, but why say that?
Well, I do. So,
too many coincidences. That's why. In situations where you could say that it was somewhat manipulated. I don't necessarily know that it was, but man, that 84 thing with Patrick Ewing.
Oh yeah, and the cold envelope and everything. But I mean, wasn't it at the time? I'm just thinking about this now, so I could be wrong about this. I know that back then they didn't have the lottery system where they have now, where the top three teams have the same percentage of getting the number one pick. If I remember correctly, the Cleveland Cavaliers did have a significant advantage that year. Mm-hmm. They had the worst record in basketball. So they statistically were favorites to get the number one overall pick.
And they were 100% tanking for LeBron specifically.
So now if there was a team that had better odds than them, or two teams, and they got the number one overall pick when LeBron was the first pick, then that would have been something. But I'm pretty sure that they had like a 30% chance of getting it, which was more than everybody else.
Right.
And they got it.
So this is why I think, like, you know, you take a look at the NBA today. So with the way that this whole thing's working out, it's going to be Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one pick. And you're going to have what? You're going to have the Jazz, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Pelicans. And the would you have the Nets?
Yeah.
In that mix.
Yeah, and that's
try to get
good.
Cooper Flagg.
So I was the first person not listening to you, Jerry, about the Aaron Boone thing. Brandon Tierney, the next, as he just texted us. Hey, guys, Boone will join us in person at 10 o'clock from the stadium if you guys can promote it.
We have. Four times. I did it with Al, and I did it last hour, and then twice this hour.
Three times. Right. So we've been on it, BT, so much so. Jerry's been doing it. I've been ignoring it. That's how much he's been doing it. And then I didn't mean to ignore it. I just did. So trust me, BT, we're all over.
We realize it's go time.
It's go time.
And then we'll look forward to the promo for the next month.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. Take Aaron Boone and BT to your church.
I can see BT going to church, being the voice of St. John's.
Oh, definitely.
Speaking of college basketball, women's college basketball, remember Grand Canyon head coach Molly Miller, like, turned the internet upside down because she's stunning?
Yeah.
So she's now at Arizona State. So
she's nice place right for her.
yes, she will. Yeah. Here was her message to Sun Devil fans as she takes over the program.
Let's go. Like, you're going to be my people. You know, I want to rally and do a little huddle jump with you after games. I want to meet you before games.
A lot of guys that would like to do a huddle jump with her.
Let's go huddle jumping.
Yeah. I just feel like everybody, you go to Arizona State, you just get more attractive somehow, you know?
Just seems lovely.
Just one of those places where you think, like, man, we were walking around that Arizona. I was at least walking around that campus. Arizona State campus there for a little bit.
What were you doing? Stalking? Probably.
No, I actually I wanted to see the Walter Cronkite School of Communication.
Oh, look at you. Okay.
Whatever.
He had a nice ass, Walter Cronkite.
Anyhow, so she's there. Canucks beat the Islanders 5-2, and the Devils did beat the Blackhawks 5-3.
And that's the thing, like, you're talking about the Islanders.
The Canadians
are there now, but they've lost three in a row, I think. You got the Islanders, the Rangers, and Columbus Blue Jackets all right in striking distance with about 10 games to go. The Rangers have 10 games. The Islanders now have 11. But, man, nobody wants that last wild card spot right now.
Yeah, and you know what I hear? Get in. Hot goaltender.
That's it.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, well, you'll be playing against the Capitals, who basically have 103 points right now and have run away with the Eastern Conference.
Do they have more points than anybody in the West as well? Would they be the President's Trophy winner?
I think they will be.
So that means that they're not winning the cup.
Tell you what, though. Aaron Boone at 10 o'clock with BT and Sal. Don't forget.
That's right. We will not.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Opening day today for baseball, Mets and Yankees a little bit later this afternoon. BT and Sal live from Yankee Stadium at 10 a.m. They will have Aaron Boone on at 10 a.m. We will have Ron Darling on at 9 a.m. as he joins us to talk about the New York Mets and what he expects from them. The phrase birds of feather flock together, birds of a feather flock together, is something that is said many times. And I remember long ago, before I joined this show, and there's birds right there. Good job, CBS Sports Network. They are flocking together. I believe those are the rats of the sky, the pigeons that are flocking together. And I remember long ago, before I got here, you and Craig had a retirement clock for Mike Francesa when he said that he was going to retire, what, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was. I mean, it was a long retirement.
Yeah, very, very long, drawn-out retirement, and Craig felt it was appropriate to have a clock.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, whatever you want to do, go ahead, you can do it.
Sure.
I'll tell you what to do and what not to do.
Right. So, and you guys had the running clock and made fun of it and everything else. So, you know that Mike Francesa and Jim Nantz are very close friends.
They are, yes.
Very close friends. So, it was no surprise to me when I heard yesterday that Jim Nantz said that I'm going to call my last Masters in the future. I'm going to tell you exactly what that date is.
2028,
2029. No. That would be weird, man, if it was 2029, right? I mean, that's, what, 4 years away? Like, that's even longer than Mike's thing, right? But it was even worse than that. It was 2036.
Hello, friends. Jim Nantz.
He's assuming he's going to make it to 2036, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's presumptuous, and I hope that he does. He seems like he is a healthy man who takes care of himself.
Did he announce this? How come I didn't see it? I have not seen
it. Oh, it is everywhere.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's absolutely.
I must have missed it.
Type in Jim Nantz, the Google, the Grok, whatever. Bang, it is right there. So 2036 is when he has decided that that's going to be the last one. It'll be his 50th Masters and the 100th Masters. And I know that Jerry's got some funny audio with that a little bit later that I will tease about Jim Nantz. And
now,
someone was confused about that.
Is that also football as well, or is
no? I think he's just talking about the Masters. I don't know. Maybe he has plans to call football till 2036 as well. I don't think so. I don't think Ian Eagle would be thrilled about that.
Well, the question will be what happens in 2029 when the NFL opens the TV contracts, and will CBS still be a part of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Given the incredible growth of Netflix, Apple TV, Prime Video, you know it.
Yeah. But yeah, don't you think that was a little bit too long to announce? We love Jim. We love him. I don't want anybody else calling the Masters for the next 11 years, that's for sure. But to say that 11 years from now, I'm going to retire?
I mean, did he say, obviously he gave an interview. He didn't do like a press conference and an announcement, did
right.
he?
No, he did not do that.
So this was an interview on what, the Golf Channel or something? Or?
I'm not sure where it came from.
Well, it gives us a lot of... Well, it gives CBS quite a few years of
trying to figure out who the next guy is.
Yeah, and also to figure out what to give him as a retirement gift.
Well, that's true. Maybe the CBS Sports sneakers that I forgot to bring in again, by the way. I need to bring those in.
He talked to a Scottish golf magazine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, Stephen Waldron.
CBS Sports, Stephen Waldron, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Do you think we could put a clock up in the corner of our show?
We sure can. It'll take a while to count down, though.
What's that?
It'll take a while to count down.
But we should do it just for today. You know, we'll put it up there today because he mentioned it yesterday. It's news today to let people know exactly how long it's going to take. So you got to get 11 years and then start figuring out the days and the months. And
since he did give this interview and we're talking about it right now, I'm going to start the timer here in the studio, okay?
Yeah. The problem is, though, I do think that resets at some point.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, that's only we only have minutes and seconds on that one, unfortunately. So
okay.
I do think once you get to triple-digit minutes,
it ends up resetting.
I mean, it is really. It's good to have a retirement plan. There's no question about that.
Certainly.
And to think that you would be able to do the 100th Masters, which would be his 50th Masters. You know, I don't think any of us or anybody in the entire golf world has even thought about that except for him.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Right, I haven't even thought about what I'm retiring. Like what number show would it be?
Yeah, I mean,
or when is it going to be? Tomorrow?
Well, we know it's not tomorrow.
Well, but I'm just saying, I haven't even thought about that.
Well, Jim's thought about it.
Obviously.
Yes, he's thought about it a lot.
But there is some synergy with the 50 and the 100 thing there, and you know how he gets. He's very emotional, and he gets caught up in these things.
Yeah, but I mean, you're assuming health in that situation.
Well, that's the other thing.
Is this a touch the money death spot for him?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. That could be. That. I mean, it could be. I'd never really thought of it that way.
Are you touching the money on your own life, Jim? Think about that. Just take it year by year, day by day.
So how old is Jim Nantz?
Every day is a gift.
He's 65.
He's 65. Okay. So we're talking about 11 years from now. Okay, I can see that. How long was Vern Lundquist doing it?
I don't know, but every time I think about Vern in his last broadcast, do you know what I'm talking about? So he was behind, he was on the course, but he was behind a tree. And they caught Tiger Woods saying goodbye to him and shaking his hand, but all you could see was his arm hanging out from it. So, like, all those memes of, like, Tiger Woods thanking a tree for there was hilarious. But Vern was there for a very long time.
Slap my ass with a noodle.
Vern last did it when he was 83 years old.
Oh, there you go. So, see, Jim is looking into the future.
And interestingly enough, it was his 40th Masters, even.
There you go.
So, hence this whole discussion with Jim Nantz. So, as a golf Scottish magazine, probably talking about the history of golf and Jim's storied history as the number one announcer for CBS.
God, that had to get him aroused.
Oh, yes.
History of golf, Scottish golf magazine, Masters 5100. I mean, but God.
You're getting aroused right now just talking about it, and you've only played golf for 4 years.
That is true. Yeah, this is a pot kettle black spot.
Yeah, I know. Just, back off there. Pump the brakes there, cuz.